And today I'm joined by a very special international guest, Alana Artsokh, a world-leading proponent of Geonomics, which we'll find out more about, a United Nations NGO representative, and also co-director of the Earth Rights Institute in the United States. So we're actually going to be having a chat to Alana and finding out a little bit more this morning. I'm going to welcome her now onto Triple R Airwaves. How are you, Alana?
Happy to be here, Nicole. Very pleased. Thank you.
Very nice to have your company. So with the Earth Rights Democracy Tour, it's a national tour. You're going to be travelling to all states?
I'll be going up to Sydney soon. I'll be Brisbane. I'm looking forward to being at Crystal Waters because I'm interested in what's happening up there.
Yeah.
And then we'll hop over to Hobart to some ports, see Tasmania, and back again to Melbourne.
Fantastic. And yeah. I guess for people who may not be familiar with the term geonomics.
Yeah, geonomics means it's a whole economic system and perspective that moves beyond the old socialism and the old monopoly capitalism. What geonomics is understanding is a new form of property rights. We're saying that what you work for and what you labor for, what you build with your hands and your mind is your private property. We're saying the government shouldn't tax you on that. That's something productive that you're doing. You fix up your house, let's not pay more taxes. What we're saying though is that the gifts of nature, the land and resources, the earth itself, and the socially generated values like land values belong to we the people as a whole. And we're putting forth a new form of democracy, a new social covenant that says a human rights to the earth is a birthright. We shouldn't have to work hard to pay for a place to sleep at night.
Exactly. Well, this morning, because we have a financial reviewer, he comes in and he chats Tom Elliott, and this morning he was talking about the trickle-down effect, and one of our breakfasters, Tony Wilson, made a good point about saying the Howard and Costello government basically has this trickle-down effect where we receive such little of that trickle-down and somebody else, and then Sam Pang referred to it as being peed on. And I thought this is very much a
that's
sign.
Pretty graphic, but that's true. I mean, it's all set to trickle up to the top. Actually, it concentrates in the United States. The top 1% has $1 trillion more wealth than the bottom 90%. How can you have a planet work when you have 300 multi-billionaires with as much wealth as the bottom half of the population of the planet? And you know, Australia, the wealth gap is growing as we speak.
Exactly. And a lot of people are very disgruntled, and that's why that's one of the reasons that you're here and here today and also doing this tour. And that's what I want to touch on. I've read a few of your articles because you have published a lot of articles over the time, and you represent an organization, the Earth Rights Institute. Would you be able to perhaps touch on a little bit more about
Earth Rights Institute mission is to bring forth this new social contract of democratic human rights to land and resources and encourage the development of practical and real institutions based on that right. So that's how we come to work with our colleagues in Nigeria for resource rent funds for their oil resources to channel back to the benefits and the well-being of the people, similar to the Alaska Permanent Fund, which we call an Earth Rights Constitution, which actually gives direct citizen dividends to each individual each year, substantial amounts of money that is theirs by right of ownership of the resources of Alaska. And that's why I'm here with my colleagues in Australia promoting the capture, the land value capture of surface land. The land we walk on is a natural resource. That land value goes up as our economy advances, but unfortunately it's captured by banks as mortgages or rents for the landlords who happen to have the privilege of merely owning earth. Mm-hmm. So we say that this is unearned income. As this unearned income based on gifts of nature, it should be channeled back to we the people as a whole as a basis for our public needs, public expenses, and even because it really is a massive amount, back as citizen dividends to each of us to supplement income.
And that's right. And you're obviously, you've talked about some of the success stories that Earth Rights has had in working with communities about that basically collectively benefiting. But in the short time that you've been in Melbourne, you're also... and the short time that you're going to be here, you're also going to be speaking at the Friends of the Earth down at Smith Street tomorrow night, and that's in regards to sovereignty, stability and sharing.
That's right.
And I believe that you've already been down to the Camp Sovereignty at King's Domain.
Yes, I was there 2 days ago, and I took part in the Sacred Fire, very beautiful ceremony, very healing, very lovely.
Can you speak about some of the solutions that you could perceive may...
Well, this is a land use rights issue. issue after all, and they want land use for sacred purposes, healing purposes. And so I'm suggesting, rather than a confrontation or a violent with taking away of the people's rights to be there at this spot, is that there be a symbolic gift given to represent a gift for the use of that circle of land for the sacred site purpose, and that perhaps also there could be a contribution of voluntary labor to clean up the park and whatever kind of park services needed, that people who support the sacred site use would actually give back through some kind of volunteer labor back to the park. So it would be a giving back to the people of Melbourne, and since the Indigenous people are also the people of Melbourne, it would be sacredly giving back some service or some symbolic gift back to the people as a whole for that as a use right. And that lines up with what we're advocating as a land value capture system, where people are paying fees back to the rest of us to secure use rights, private use rights we're making conditional upon payment of a fair lease fee back to the community as a whole. Mm. And this is what we call geonomics, with a policy of land value tax or land value capture. You like that?
Yeah, I do.
All right. See, it links it all up.
The thing is, another thing that I really liked is obviously you've published many articles, and one that I took the time out to read on the weekend was The Democracy, Earth Rights and the Next Economy. And I really liked your historical explanation of why we've ended up with such restricted earth rights. I know given the time it's probably difficult to go into this.
In a nutshell, what has happened is that we had over 500 years of enclosures in Europe and England and Ireland, where the common lands were privatized, something that Indigenous people experience today. And so it came to be that the only way we could get access to land was through cash payments, buying land. Mm. And so to buy what should be ours by right is the initial distortion of our whole economic system. We have the benefits of this amazingly productive market system, but we have not learned to distribute wealth. The wealth is maldistributed, and this is crushing the benefits of a market economy, the freedoms of the market economy. So we need to resolve this, and this understanding that just because we buy and sell the earth and speculate in profit in the earth is not a system that has been on the planet for very long. It came out of a earlier exploitation of the people of Europe, England, and Ireland.
Well, we like the sounds of this counterculture that seems to be sort of coming through with these words, and I really also like the sound of the next economy concept, which you've raised in your article as well.
Yes.
Which we've obviously highlighted. Yay. How people are disgruntled with this capitalistic structure that we're conforming to and living in. What's the next economy all
the
about?
The next economy is going to give us our rights to the planet in a healthy condition. We're going to take taxes off of labor and all the productive and good things that people do, collect all these resource rents for the benefit of the people as a whole, in which case we shouldn't have to work more than 2 or 3 days a week maximum. I mean, the benefits of a technical society, computers and information, should be to free labor. It just keeps exploiting labor because of this initial injustice that we need to get down and address. Mm-hmm. So labor is going to be really free. We're going to be able to expand our minds, expand our spirits. We're going to be having the time to be together, to have conversations like we're having right now, Nicole. We're going to be able to raise our consciousness and our awareness to spiritual dimensions, where each day is like totally awesome to be here, you know, like just watching the parrots at my friend Carl's house this morning and just really being in this magical place, which is planet Earth. And we're here for a very short time, so we need to really experience it fully, huh?
Exactly. Well, I believe you, and I agree that sort of utopia and that utopic outlook does exist, and it should exist. But we have seen fierce opposition from, from the powers that be.
Hey, the powers that be are thoroughly corrupted, poor souls, you know. I mean, they can't think beyond or see beyond power and money and greed. They need help. They need rehabilitated. But it's a serious problem because we're at the end of this monopoly capitalist period, and they will do everything to control. So we really need to form these strong alliances to be able to stand up, speak truth to power, use Gandhi's principles of Satyagraha, truth force. I myself feel that I have been working with befriending people at the U.S. Army War College. Mm-hmm. I have a very good colonel friend now who is really getting onto these ideas and is teaching them at the Army War College. And he's teaching the guys, the NATO leaders, generals, and so on, that they got to stand on the law and not just do what they're being told to do if it's against the law, no matter what president or who tells them to do what. They have to know the law. Mm-hmm. And so that is... a capacity there to, I think that since some of these people are really guilty of crimes against humanity, my government has positioned itself for full spectrum dominance of all the planet as a whole for the elite commercial interests and so on, that if they're really guilty, and they are, of crimes against humanity, they'll need to be arrested.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, well, democracy as it is has been so thoroughly corrupted. I'm learning about how you're privatizing all your roads around here. I mean, that's an extreme of privatization. So we need to bring back a commons ethic, a commons regime, to end this ludicrous enclosures that has continued on now 700 years since early Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, enclose your roads, make them private, charge tolls for people driving the cars along. I mean, this is all part of the extreme that we've got. We've got to shift it back. And this is why I like this, the Earth rights democracy. That's why that resonates as actually a new form of democracy, that's a covenant of we the people, that says that we have a human right as a birthright to our planet.
Absolutely. Well, our phones look like they're going pretty hot. Looks like people are sort of quite interested in hearing a bit more from you, Alana. So just so we can cover a little bit of where you're going to be, where people can find you on in Melbourne, tonight you're going to be heading down, you're going to be out in the eastern suburbs down at Knox Community Arts Centre down there, which is on the corner of Mountain Highway and Scoresby Road in Bayswater.
7:30
this evening, and then tomorrow night, as mentioned, down at Friends of the Earth, 312 Smith Street in Collingwood. So that's going to be at 6:30. So that's fantastic. So what is the key messages that you want to make sure? You obviously have talked about the privatisation of roads. There's so many other things that are being privatised, and there, you know, there does to be seem to be great. There is great dissatisfaction in regards to our economic structures and democracy, the way that you've talked about, and our earth rights as well in there. And I think people are going to want to know what the key messages that you want Australians to know from
your
presentations.
The key message is that there's very practical policies that you can implement right here in Melbourne and in Victoria and in Australia that is based on earth rights democracy, practical policies. You can shift your tax base off of labor, off of wages, and off of sales tax, which is a regressive tax actually, and on to the land value, so that you don't have these housing speculative and housing bubble problems. If you untax your wages, you're going to have more purchasing capacity. If you use land sites better through having them be more affordable, you're going to have more housing built that's going, or the, you have boarded up housings like we did in Pennsylvania that we got fixed up because we started shifting our tax base in this way. We have a lot of practical examples and we know how to do this. So I would say to our listeners to like tune into the Prosper Australia and go down there to Hardware Street, right? And go into their offices, call them up and get involved and engaged and build a political movement for this.
Yep, Hardware Lane down in Melbourne CBD there. Well, this, I mean, sounds fantastic. And for people to find out more about your organisation, earthrights.net, is that the best site?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. On the web, earthrights.net.
Okay. And earthsharing.org.au.
That covers
everything as far as the tour.
Go to earthsharing.org and then you can plug into this movement in Australia.
Oh, I mean, you, and another thing that we cover a lot in the long grass here is talking about information technology and how we can sustain a lot of messages and benefit from the technology to attain greater earth rights.
So powerful. Exactly. Wow, this can really, we can really build and take off with this movement with information technology. For instance, our city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which has a strong movement for this underway, you can go into their website. And the whole entire map of who owns what where in Philadelphia is all charted out, how much taxes they're paying now, their land assessments. You can compare your land and property assessed fairly compared to other people on your block and neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And with a calculator that calculates how who would pay more, how much you would pay, given a shift in varying degrees to the system that were proposed. So all of that's right there, very, very clear. I mean, it makes the game, it can be the most incredible computer game of real life game of who owns the earth, how much is it worth, who benefits, who gains, who wins, who loses, and how can we build an Earth Rights democracy? Details is good. It's what we want. Really practical.
We had a chat to Dr. Matisse Wackenagel last week in regard one of the co-creators of the Ecological Footprint,
good.
And he was talking along the similar lines that we need to start mapping things out a lot more clearly. And I really do appreciate your time this morning coming in and chatting to me, Lana Hartsock, Earth Rights Institute of the USA from there, and also a United Nations Habitat Advisor, and so many more things that you've done and so many things that you're no doubt going to share with us while you're here in Australia.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Nicole, for having me on.
Thank you. Well, probably an artist who you've heard of, Annie DeFranco.
Yes.
Well, a fantastic track we're going to take now from her, which is appropriately titled Subdivision. What we hear so much of. She speaks so honestly, doesn't she? Live at Carnegie Hall here on Triple R. Thanks, Alana.
You're welcome.